Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have with me Dr. Aparna Nagda, and she has written two books. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Masked Monologues. Thank you for having me here. I'm basically a practicing doctor in India. I'm also a biology tutor. I have a group of students whom I tutor too. And I also write. So this is my second book, that is The Labyrinth of Silence. And in this book, we talk about how silence intrudes race people around us, how they manipulate, how they break or make their relationships using silence as a... So this narrative is based in the city of Belgaum in Karnataka in India. And we talk about we explore two themes in this book. One is child sexual abuse, and second is ancient practice of neo, which was practiced in India too when a couple was declared infertile. The woman was made to sleep with another man to beget a child. This was long ago, but as a creative writer, I have taken the liberty to understand the repercussions of such a practice on modern India. Yes, so the book deals with silence, and it deals with neo as a practice and also child abuse.
Wow, thank you so much. Those seem like a lot of heavy topics. Did you research on them before writing your book, or how did you find your inspiration and decide to write on that subject?
So I started out with a small target to myself. I wanted to write something for close to 18 to 20,000 words because I had not written anything longer than that format. And I started with a girl who was mute, who was born mute. And how she is so happy being silent and still she is verbal through her emotions. And then slowly the story took itself ahead. And she meets various people. She falls in love with a man who's 20 years older to her. And this man is being abused sexually as a child. And then how she changes him and the scenario around him. So when I actually asked myself why my character is silent and what has happened to him, the characters started speaking for themselves. I don't know how it happened, but they gradually took the story ahead. And when I decided that I want to write on child abuse, I had to speak to certain people who have experienced it as a toddler or as a teenager. And research was more, much, much beyond than what could offer. I had to speak to real people to understand the exact trauma behind abuse, the emotions. And when a child was being abused as a child, when that child grows up as an adult, how that adult handles his or her relationship with society and family. What are the repercussions of abuse on the society? So if a single person is abused, how it affects many people who come in their contact. So this research was people-based than any kind of Google-based research. It was more of talking to people.
Yes, no, thank you. I'm wondering how you approach these people on such an intimate topic, because were they close friends and family members, or did you have to reach out to a community? How did you find these people, and how did you allow them to open up?
One or two of them, when I was writing this, it was just an accident that I told it to a friend that I'm writing. And she opened up to me saying that I have not told this to anybody before. And I'm just sharing it with you that I have been abused by my uncle. And I have never realized that he was abusing me. But when I grew up and when I knew that such a thing is called as an abuse, I came to know that, okay, I was abused as a child. So I was just randomly talking to a friend and telling her that I'm doing so-and-so research, and she just opened up. So I had an advantage of being her closest to me, and that is why maybe she broke up and opened the news. And then I asked myself, being a doctor, I had a few contacts, few counselors, and the counselors and the patients they asked me that they should not be named anywhere, and on the basis of anonymity, I would talk to them and listen. So to the people, folk, a few of them were already healed and they were okay with me asking questions. Part of them were not healed, and the question answer session for them was the process into healing. So yes, that is how I...
Yes, no, thank you for those insights. Now I want to move on to more of the writing aspect of the book. And as you were saying that you wanted to reach a word count of 18,000 words at first because you hadn't written in a while. Did you have an editing process, or are you someone who does a plot line at the beginning just to have everything structured out and know exactly what chapter is about, what each chapter focuses on, and then do you start writing, or do you just go into it and organize it as you're writing, as it's all in the process? Is it a combined process for you?
I'm not a bit methodic person, right? I go with the flow of it. I'm not someone who would, you know, who has target that today I will be writing 1,000 words and tomorrow I will be writing 2,000 words. No. So if a particular day I'm in a good creative space, I can write like 4,000 to 5,000 words. And a day when there is nothing, only a scene comes out, so I just write say, about 500, 800 words, just a short dialogue between my characters. So when The Labyrinth of Science was being written, I really did not have a plot-wise or a structure or a chapter. The characters, what next? It is what I kept asking myself. I kept asking my characters, what is the next that you want to do? And then the characters told me, okay, this is next. So every chapter, when it ended, I used to sit down for a day or two and I used to think, now what next? It worked chapter-wise. It never was that I had the whole structure, the plot made. Everything just happened in bits and parts. But yes, now that I'm writing my second novel, I have made it a more of a structured thing. I have the plot ready and I have the age, the belief system of every character, the name. There's a sheet, a Google sheet that has been made, the likes and dislikes of the character, the attributes of the character, the faith system, the backstory. So all that is written on a Google sheet. But for the first one, it happened in a flow. And for me, it was more of an experience of knowing about myself, I am as a writer, and that writer was slowly evolving in the process. So the first one was very much a track-wise flow. It was never written with a structured or a methodical form.
Yes, and I want to ask, did you find that the second book was easier and quicker to write? Was your writing process expedited more than the first book you had, or did it take just as long? What were the challenges when writing the second book?
So the second book is still in process, and it has not many characters. This book had only 4 to 5 characters, and I was dealing with a lot of intimate conversations, of intimate feelings of these characters. And that is why delving deeper and deeper into the layers of their personality was a little easier. The second book, I had to do this structured format because there are about 12 characters in this book, and that I need to know their age, I need to know their name. Sometimes I forget the name of a particular character and I have to go do a back and forth between chapters. Second, being a totally commercial book, I would say, has a lot of methodical structured format. Every book, I feel, is written in, you cannot have A is equal to B format for all the books. Certain books need to be experienced and they need to be written as they come to you. For certain books, you have to have a format and you have to sit and draw a graph, all those things consciously as they came through. So both the processes, I feel, it is the book, the time, and the topic of the book decides how you are going to approach that.
Yes, no, I understand where you're going with this. I'm wondering for you, is it easier to write those intimate conversations and focus on 4 characters as opposed to 12 characters? Or if you were giving advice to a novice writer, would you tell them to restrict the number of characters they have in their books and just go in depth on each conversation or explore the characters in depth as opposed to writing about a plethora of characters and only giving a couple of insights about them?
See, as a writer, I think we must be open to everything that we come across, everything that our mind allows us to practice. So having experienced with one form of writing, where I deeper and deeper into the layers of 4 characters, I also want to do a book where there are many characters and make it a more complex structure or a complex web, and still be able, well, in those, touch their minds, not touch their brain. So I think we should experiment with different writing styles or different ways of writing books or ways of telling a story. A story can be told from the point of view of four people and also from the point of view of people. What okay. we need to restrict in 15 people is that we don't confuse the reader or we don't throw up too many point of view. Even in 15 people, you have your protagonist who are two or three who are really taking the story ahead. The other people are merely acting as a supporting cast, but contributing to the actions of their of this two, three people who are taking the story ahead. The others are just, I think we should experiment with different styles.
No, I completely agree with that. Now I want to ask about writing drafts. So when you're finished your book, you have your first draft. Who do you get to edit it, or do you ask for feedback at that stage, or is it just you going back and then on your second?
No. I have sent it across to 4 to 5 people to beta read it. I also work with a professional editor for digital edit. My publisher later on, before I send it to my publisher, I got it edited by a professional editor who worked on the developmental edit. My friends who are also writers, who are different people from different backgrounds, they went to the manuscript, they gave their feedbacks. We made certain changes according to what they thought, because I was seeing only through one lens. Thankfully, I had 4 different pairs of eyes to go through there. And then when I submitted to my publisher and his team, these editors went through the book. They did a lot of proofread, line development, certain shifting of chapters here and there, tweaking a bit. And it was a long process of 3 years, but this is something that has terminated well.
No, thank you. I want to ask about finding a publisher, because nowadays I find that a lot of authors are self-published. And how would you go about acquiring a publisher? Or how did you approach a publisher?
I have been published traditionally in India, and I have sent out emails and letters to various publishers. Out of that, one of them got the person, the one whom I have worked who has published my book. And so basically, it was a contact that this particular publishing house had never published a book on. The practice of neo that I told you, this is something very much less explored in Indian literature. I don't know why, but let's try of talking about it. They circle of what a bold topic might do to their book. So my publisher was very happy that I had picked up that topic, and he wanted to publish it. But yes, but it is difficult to find, because I feel that there are same type of story that are there. If we have something unique to offer, then we must think of writing a book. If we are going to tell the same story, I don't think the publishers are interested, because a girl met a boy kind of story has been written millions of times before. And this is until you have a very unique way of telling it. So that is one. So finding the publisher, your manuscript has to be very thin. You should have a good social media presence, because that is where the publisher looks at how well you will be selling the books. So for them, it is about selling. For us, it is about just writing. So having a good social media presence, having a background where you can launch your book or you can talk about your book. So you have to tell the publisher so many things before you sign the contract. So as a writer, I think we must be going out, meeting people, forming new associations. They think of pitching our books, attending literature festivals. This is a lot that money to invest in, apart just sitting in a cubicle and writing.
Yes. No, I want to know how you approach that marketing aspect of it. Do you do a lot of podcasts? How do you keep up your social media? Do you do posts daily, or what platforms do you use?
Yes, I on an average in a week, I post 3 to 4 times, and that I have been doing on a regular basis for past 4 years, 4 to 5 years, you can say now, before I could even start writing the book. So it was never on my mind that I have to be on social media because I'm writing a book. I was there on social media because I, as a doctor, as a teacher, there was certain things that bothered me, and I used to put up posts talking about it. And I had friends, and then we build up community. We have a book club, and slowly in all, because like-minded people, they started following me. We became friends. And from there onwards, the whole business started of the presence of being on social media. Apart from that, I also do workshops, creative writing workshops for youngsters. We have book club meets that I attend. So physical presence as well as a social media presence. is very important, and continuously talking to people, helping them in their work, and it's a mutual way. Like you are going about, you are helping the community to grow by casting our podcast. So that is one way in which we contribute. So I have a lot of physical needs that happen. I work and meet people, workshops, book clubs, and also the social media press, but not one day, 2 day, 3 day. This has been a 4 to 5 year process where I post. And it's not only about book, because you should not come across about continuously selling or marketing your book. People get bored continuously looking at the same content by my book. So you should also offer content that is useful to people. They must look up to saying, okay, what is Master Monologue going to do you today? What is it that we can learn, or what is it that we can interact with them? Some content is the game changer, right?
And during this entire process, was there anything that came as a surprise to you? Were you shocked by anything when you were writing your book, when you were marketing, when you were editing, when you were reaching out to publishers?
Do you think anything was a surprise? Because before I started writing the book or during the process, I was constantly observing this industry as an outsider. Now that I'm a part of this industry, publishing industry as an author, but before when I was not, I was constantly looking out for people who had published. I was talking to them. I was listening to their experiences, their ugly experiences as well. Nothing at first came as a surprise. Everything worked beautifully well. In fact, I was the kind of sales that are happening with the book. People randomly, whom I have not been in touch for a long time, have also picked up my social media post, and they have messaged me saying that we love the book. Certain people, though they are not on social, WhatsApp to me after every chapter. So that was a kind of surprise that I never thought that people would be so engaged, and they would send me chapter-wise messages. If a character died, they would, middle of the night, I have a message. Then, oh no, Narmada died, and we are feeling so sorry for her. And then somebody would say, I wish Kashi was like this, or I wish you would have killed her instead of Narmada. These kind of things, yes, they did surprise me. I did expect that people would review the book, but having a chapter-wise review and instant messages when they were reading, what they liked, what they did not like, that was a huge surprise. And I was happy surprised by those messages.
Yes, I'm wondering, when you said you were an outsider of the writers community, was that physically? Did you go to physical writers groups, or were you on an online group? How would someone who wants to learn more about writing, the publishing process, marketing, go into a writing community and learn more?
Yes, so I am part of two writing communities where I have sharpened my cross. One is Penmancy, which is on Facebook, and another is also Did You Write Today? So both the communities, I have been, I first wrote for about 2.5 years, short stories, dialogue writing, character sketches, stories, flash fiction, and the feedback that I got from the writer was there. It meant immensely to provide. Every story that I wrote, there have been 10 to 12 comments, 15, 20 people telling me this is not how your character does, or this is not how your plot flows, and try to incorporate this into your writing. For this online writing communities, I started this process during COVID, and we did not have any physical writing group meeting that time. So Penmancy and Did You Write Today, these two groups, and this has been a lot. And I'm very thankful to all the writers that, because their suggestions, their ruthless criticism, thinking my welfare, only those critiques, but giving their criticism. So criticism is something that we must take it in a very healthy manner. So that criticism has helped me write much, much better and not stay in a very, in our own cloud. I have never stayed in that cloud that I'm writer the world has to offer. Writing communities do help you, especially you have honest feedbacks coming your way.
Yes, no, thank you. I love how there's international collaboration on these online platforms where you can speak to an experienced writer in a different country. And without Facebook, social media, you wouldn't be able to get that. So it's wonderful how we have that tool, and writers should definitely take advantage of it. Now I want to ask, where people can find your book if they'd like to purchase it, and your social media channels or your website. Could you shout out to them?
Sure. So my book is called as The Labyrinth of Silence, and it is available on Amazon.com. So you have to just type The Labyrinth, Labyrinth of Silence, and it is available at Amazon.com, all over the world. Social media handles, I am available on the Instagram as aparna.sari.3. Facebook, I'm on the name of Aparna Sarinagar. I have a LinkedIn account on the same name. So these are the places where I am available. And people can, I request all the people who are listening to this podcast, please read my book and share your feedback on as reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. My book is also listed on Amazon and on Goodreads. So please read the book. My Instagram handle is balna.tani.pe. So you can also DM me or message me there. Whatever you like, you didn't like, but please do read the book. It's called The Labyrinth of Silence.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Aparna. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you like this episode and you want more episodes like this, please do subscribe to our mailing list, or please follow us on our social media platforms, and also go and follow Aparna. Please do check out our book and show your support. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you next time.
Loving for me, no love.